Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. And the risen Lord Jesus asks a very important question of Simon Peter today along the shores of the Sea of Galilee around a charcoal fire. He says, "Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these?" And the way my mind works, I ask myself, more than these what? What noun does the demonstrative pronoun these refer to? More than these what? Well, I think it can mean two things at the same time. First, "Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these?" Meaning, do you love me more than these other disciples love me? The reason I make that argument is because you remember that at the Last Supper, St. Peter said, "Although everybody else may have their faith shaken in you, my faith will never be shaken." But of course, St. Peter did have his faith shaken. And he denied knowing Jesus three times around a charcoal fire. And so, it is not by accident that around another charcoal fire that St. Peter professes three times his love for the Lord Jesus. St. Peter is challenged by Jesus to live up to his own words. "So, Peter, let me give you another chance to say that you love me more than these other disciples love me." And how often I am like St. Peter. How often I say, "Even though every other priest may break their vows, even though other priests will fall away, I will never fall away. And when I do fall away, and when I do sin, the Lord in his divine mercy gives me another chance to profess my undying love for him." Secondly, the phrase, "Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these?" can also mean, "Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these boats, these nets, these fish?" Now, why do I make this argument? Well, after Jesus revealed himself to St. Thomas in the upper room last Sunday, and after Jesus gives his apostles the authority to forgive sins, St. Peter and the other apostles find themselves up north along the shores of the Sea of Galilee. And Peter said, "I am going fishing." And the other disciples who were with him, St. James, St. John, St. Bartholomew, St. Thomas, and two other disciples, that makes seven, by the way, altogether, they say, "We'll come with you. I am going fishing. And we'll come with you." Wait a minute. I thought that they had abandoned their nets and their boats and their father, Zebedee, 3 years ago. What's going on here? Why are they going backwards? Well, now that Jesus is truly risen from the dead, everything is different. And we have to admit they're probably a little confused because they can't even recognize Jesus. Jesus isn't with them like he was before. He's just popping up here and there. He's not with them in the same way. They're confused. They don't even know what they're supposed to do anymore after the resurrection. And so what do? They go back fishing. Why? Because it's familiar. It's comfortable. It's something that they're used to. And I do this all the time too. When I'm confused, when I'm overwhelmed, when I don't know what to do, I go back to something that's familiar. Something that's comfortable. I give up sinning for a time and things are going great. And then it's so easy for me to fall back into the old habits in my sinful ways that are very comfortable and familiar. And so, Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these? Can mean, do you love me more than these boats, these nets, these fish? Do you love me more than being on the lake, fishing, and a large amount of fish? Are you prepared, St. Peter, to give them all up? To abandon all hope of a successful career in fishing? To give up a steady job, a good income, in order to give yourself over for the good of feeding and tending my sheep and my little lambs? Peter, can you finally, once and for all, give up what is most precious to you? Simon, son of John, do you love me more than all these things? Anthony Esselon, English professor at Providence College in Rhode Island, recently wrote a meditation reminding me of a passage in C.S. Lewis's book, The Great Divorce. Toward the end of this fictional book, C.S. Lewis describes a man who has a little red lizard sitting on his shoulder, whispering lewd comments and suggestions into his ear. "Shut up, I tell you," the man says to the little red lizard. And all of a sudden, a flaming angel appears and says to the man, "Would you like me to make him quiet?" "Of course I would," the man says. "Then I will kill him," says the angel. "Oh, you didn't say anything about killing him." "It's the only way," said the angel, whose burning hands were now very close to the lizard. "Shall I kill it?"
I'm quite open to reconsider it, but for the moment, I was only thinking of silencing it."
"May I kill it?"
"Well, there's time to discuss that later."
"There is no time. May I kill it?"
"Honestly, I don't think there's the slightest necessity for that. I think the gradual process would be far better than killing it."
"The gradual process is of no use at all," says the angel.
"Don't you think so?" "Well, I'll think it over, what you've said, very carefully. I honestly will. In fact, I'd let you kill it now, but as a matter of fact, I'm not feeling frightfully well today. It would be silly to do it now. Some other day, perhaps."
"There is no other day," said the angel.
The man protests, "Why are you torturing me? Why didn't you kill the damned thing without asking me before I knew?"
"I cannot kill it against your will. It's impossible. Have I your permission?" And the angel's hands were almost closed in on the lizard, but then the lizard began to chatter. "Be careful! Be careful!" the lizard says. "He can do what he says. He can kill me. One fatal word from you and he will. Then you'll be without me forever and ever and ever and ever. It's unnatural. How can you live?" "Have I your permission?" said the angel.
Finally, the man cries, "Oh, go on, can't you? Get it over. Do what you like." And he whimpers, "God help me. God help me. God help me."
I'm going to leave you at a cliffhanger. You got to find out what happens. It is totally beyond what you could possibly expect. What happens next? In my book, it's on page 101 in The Great Divorce. Isn't that a great story?
What sins and vices do I love more than God that I don't want to kill just yet?
What sins and vices and addictions do I want to keep around for just a little while longer? I tell you, kill them. Kill these vices and sins and addictions so that you can be fully alive and have life more abundantly. Give permission for the fiery cherubim angel to kill those vices, those sins. We are all called to love God with all our heart, all our mind, all our soul, and all our strength. And the key word in that sentence is all. All. Our heart, mind, soul, and strength. All. What do we love more than God? What things do we love more than God? Boats and nets and fishing and golfing and hunting and my car, condo, cash, my iPod, my iPad, my iPhone. What things do I love more than God? What people do I love more than God? And I'm not willing to let go to heaven. What people do I love more than God that I'm not willing to sacrifice to a seminary or to a convent? Let the nets go. Pray, my God, I love you above all things, with my whole heart and soul, because you are all good and worthy of all my love. Say with St. Peter, Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you. And Jesus says, then abandon everything and follow me.